Okay, we are studying the book of Revelation. So far, we studied two churches. This church name is Pergamos. As I said earlier, I'm not going to say so much about history and geography about the church. This church was 60 miles north of Smyrna. And Smyrna we studied last time. Let's read the first verse. Revelation chapter 2, verse 12.
And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, "These things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges."
Now, each time he's saying, write to the church, but when you're writing to the church, he says, write to the angel. And we learn angels are messengers, and so he's not writing the regular angels, he's writing to the pastor. Pastor is the messenger. Also, he takes the message from God and reveals or give it to the churches. And so he says, write to the Pergamos, that pastor of the Pergamos church. And then he says, who is writing or who is giving this command? So who is writing? He says, the who has the sharp sword, two-edged sword, and this time he didn't say in his mouth, but last time we learned that the sword was in his mouth. When he says sword, it's not a dull sword, a sharp sword. And it's a two-edged sword. When you say two-edged sword, that sword can cut both sides. So you can say it can cut the enemies or destroy the enemies, and it can also prune the believers. So it can do the both jobs. Actually, that person is Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ always used the word. When he say he speaks the words, things happens. He spoke the words and all the universe came to in existence. And so he can send the word and people can get healed, delivered and set free. So he can send the word and his word will do the job. He defeated also devil by the word. He said, it is written. Jesus Christ has the two-edged sword in his mouth. Let's read the verse 13. Revelation chapter 2, verse 13.
I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth.
Verse 13, Jesus did not accuse them where they are, because sometimes some people start the church in a ghetto area, or the people who are not born again, not saved, just the new place they go and want to win souls. David Wilkerson, he started his church going to ghettos, going to the people who are really gangsters and things like that. And when he starts the church like that, that church is like a sitting among the demonic territory. And that's the way this church was, Pergamos church. When you see that church surrounding, that in that city, there was one big altar, 800 foot high. And I don't know what they were doing in that 800 feet high altar, maybe burning incense, or doing some sacrifices. So that place was one of their religious headquarters for the Asia at that particular time. They had cobra, snake symbols. Now if you see the medical doctors or medical school, colleges, university, whatever, they have the symbol of the snake. Some people do not know why they have symbol of snake. But actually, if you study the Word of God, we know in a book of Numbers, chapter 21, read the verse 8 and 9.
And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived.
Now see, at that particular time, serpents start biting the children of Israel. They came and complained to Moses, pray to God that this serpent should go away. And he goes to God, and God says, no, these serpents will not go away. You make a serpent, brass serpent, put it on the pole, and tell the people to look at that serpent, and then their poison will be gone. It looks like a foolish thing, but when the people start looking at that brass and serpent, they got healed. And so that had some spiritual meaning. Cobra or the snake is a cursed animal. Even the devil is called the old serpent or old dragon. There was a meaning that the devil is the one bringing all these curses and all this sickness, disease, and death. But the Jesus Christ was going to take all the sickness, disease, death penalty on the cross. And if you remember, Jesus Christ was talking to Nicodemus at St. John chapter 3. And he said, just like Moses lifted up that serpent, the same way the Son of Man or Son of God will be lifted up. And he was talking about the crucifixion. But why I'm saying this, how these people got this idea? They got this idea that Moses lifted up the serpent and the poison didn't bother the people and people got healed. So this Hindu people and all these heathen people got this idea, and they are still worshipping the snake god. So in this Pergamos area where the city was, these people had these snake symbols many places. Not only that, I heard that they had a library. And you can see now 2,000 years ago, library with a 200,000 books library in those days, that called a big library. They said that was the second biggest library, and the other one was in Alexandria. And so the point I'm making, these 200,000 books were written, and most of the books are written, they were not Christian books. 2,000 years ago, the people got the idea, if you handle the snake and if you worship the snake poison will not bother us. And they even start the theory, or I don't know, they got a medicine. Today also, people are using the cobra's venom as a medicine. And so, point I'm making, in that city or that town, they had even medical school teaching about this kind of medicine. And so this city was very famous with all this idol worship and things like that. So having a church in that area, somebody has to have a courage. Where the Satans was dwelling in that particular place, these people started their church. So it's not a bad thing, it was a good thing what they did. Now some of the cities in America, I'm not giving their names, but some of the cities are very bad. If somebody wants to start a church, it's a great thing. Somebody has to have a courage to do it. Many people would not have that courage, but this Pergamos church and his pastor, his followers, had some courage to start a church in that particular area. Let's go back to the Revelation chapter 2, verse 13. He says, I know thy works, means they have good works, and God recognized their works. Then he says, and where thou dwellest, means I know your works and I know where you have your church. He is not condemning, why did you start a church in that area? Where is your church? Said, even where Satan's seat is. That means your church is there where the Satan dwells, and you have their church there. And then he says, and thou holdest fast my name. So still no condemnation. Your church is in a certain area where the demonic powers and demonic works is going on, and you holding my name, how? Not ordinary way, fast. Means me holding fast the name of Jesus Christ. Among these all heathens and among all these demonic people, you did not lose your faith yet. So you're holding fast. Again, then he says, and has not denied my faith. So you holding the name of Jesus Christ and you not denying the faith of Christ. That is a good sign of the church. They are holding the name of Christ means you are not denying my faith, you are holding it. And then again he says, even in those days, Antipas, my faithful martyrs, who was slain among you. So what he's trying to say, I have so many good things to talk about. You are holding my name, you are holding my faith. And one of the servants, he says, my faithful servant. He says, this was my faithful servant, and he was martyred, slain among you. Now, he says slain, when you say slain, can be slain by the sword, or the killed by the stones, or anyway, the slain means killed. But what they did, they took this man, and took the brazen cow or calf and put that person in it and put the fire underneath and roasted this servant of God. Can you imagine how much pain it will be? So it was a horrible death. And then he says, even though this thing happened, you did not deny your faith. Jesus Christ was well pleased with this church at that particular time. Now, let's go to the book of Revelation chapter 2, verse 14.
But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication.
Now here we see, he says, I have few things against you. When you say few things, that means it's not too many things. Few things against you means you had so many good qualities, I have few things against you. And now he saying one thing and another thing will be telling you later on. Now what the things he is telling, you have some people, not all the people, some of the church members are holding the doctrine of Balaam. And he already explained what the doctrine of Balaam is here. He was teaching the children of Israel to sacrifice to the idols and commit fornication. Now, somebody will say, I don't know why he was doing it and why Balaam got this idea to teach the children of Israel sacrifice to idol gods and do fornication. If you want to know more about this, you write it down, the scripture I give it to you. Numbers chapter 22 to Numbers chapter 25, you will get the story of Balaam. Now, Balak was the king in that area when the children of Israel were camping. And the Balak was scared because the children of Israel killed so many kings. So he thought, now children of Israel will be killing us. So they got one, this Balaam, the prophet, come and curse the children of Israel. Now, I don't have time to tell you whole story in details, but I already gave the Bible scriptures. But in short, I'm trying to say, before he could go to curse, so he went east, west, south, north, everywhere, and everywhere he blessed the children of Israel. So the Balak king was so mad, and he told him, now don't bless or don't curse, get out of here. And I call you to curse these people and you are not cursing. So then he left and then he got an idea. He said, now I got an idea, Balak the king. Let's do this. All your beautiful girls, when they go to worship the idols, they should dance. And when they dance, invite Israeli people to come and see their dance and see how beautiful these girls are. And invite them and make a feast. Here these people are invited to enemy's festival and they went there and they saw beautiful girls and they took the beautiful girls and they start marrying them and eating the food given to the idol. This Balaam knew if the children of Israel, when they start doing these idol worship, God will be mad and God will kill these Israeli people. And when the people are less, then you can defeat them. That might be the idea he had. Let's go to the Numbers. I'm going to give only a couple of verses. The Numbers chapter 25 and verse 9. At that particular time, 24,000 Israeli people died because they disobeyed God.
And those that died in the plague were 24,000.
24,000 means 24,000 people died because of Balaam's doctrine, Balaam's teaching. And then God was mad at Balaam. I just wanted to point out what happened to him. Balaam was killed by sword. Go to the Numbers chapter 31, verse 7 and 8.
And they warred against the Midianites as the Lord commanded Moses, and they slew all the males. And they slew the kings of Midian, beside the rest of them that were slain, namely Evi and Rechem and Zur and Hur and Reba, five kings of Midian. Balaam also the son of Beor they slew with the sword.
Can you imagine when this Balaam gave the doctrine to Balak to how to destroy the children of God, give them beautiful girls, and give them the sacrificial food so they will die or they will be killed by God. Here, all these kings, five kings were killed, and Balaam also was killed, because once you go against God, God will not let you go. And so here we see, Jesus says to the church of Pergamos, you have some people there holding the doctrine of Balaam. Now you know what the Balaam was teaching. The word of God says, you should not be eating the food offered to the idols. And if you read the Exodus chapter 20, first commandment is already given that you should not be worshiping any idols. You should not be worshiping any other gods, but our God alone. So these people were disobeying this commandment. And not only that, they were doing these things, having heathen girls and marrying them. Today also many people marrying unsaved girls. That's why the word of God says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 14, do not unequally yoke. If you marry somebody, if that person is not a Christian, not born again, eventually that marriage will destroy, or that person will go away from the Lord or spiritually be destroyed. The Balaam's doctrine, some people were doing it, and Jesus Christ says, that is not good. I have something against that, and this is your fault. Verse 15. Revelation chapter 2, verse 15.
So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate.
He says there is another doctrine. We already learned about this. These words are pronounced two different ways. Nicolaitans, or doctrine of Nicolaitans. But they say that name means having some kind of power, authority, and conquering spirit. Several different people say several different ways. Some people say that there were people in the church, like a bishop or pastor, they were not allowing the church people to do anything and they were overpowering them. But that happened in the Catholic Church. I don't think at that time Catholic Church was even exist. There were some people, they have this kind of doctrine. What doctrine that was? If you are a born-again Christian or even the believers, your spirit is reborn, but your body is not. That means you can do anything. You can do fornication, you can do adultery, you can enjoy liquor, this, that. That has nothing to do with your spirit. And so you can enjoy the world, and at the same time you can worship the Lord. But the Bible is against. Bible says all fleshly work and fleshly desire is against the spirit. And if anyone does the worldly thing, they're going to be destroyed. Please read the 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to 17.
Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world.
See here, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, this is not from the Father. And so all this, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, what the flesh desires is, I want this, I want that, all the fornication, all the adultery, all the drinking and smoking and all these things are the lust of the flesh. And the lust of the eyes means whatever you see, I want that. And the pride of life, I want to be somebody. I want to be this, I want to be this. Big name, big fames, and that's why people are living for. And so big name, big fame, or the pride of life, this is not from the Lord. You know that devil, he was a Lucifer, he was an angel. He got a pride in his life, and what he wanted to be? He wanted to be like God. So he was destroyed, and he was fallen from the heaven. So the point I'm making, Nicolaitans or Nicolaitans, this group of people, they were teaching people, enjoy the life, enjoy the flesh, and don't worry about anything. You can go to church Sunday, and Monday through Saturday, you can live like a devil, doesn't matter. Once you go to the church, say, praise the Lord, hallelujah, glory to God, and God will be pleased. But the word of God says in Galatians chapter 5, if you read, it said the work of the flesh and the fruit of the spirit. And so you're going after the flesh, you're going to go to hell. And so you produce the fruit, you please God. And so here the word of God is saying there are two different kinds of group in your church, and they're teaching two different kinds of doctrine. Jesus Christ himself, he says, which things I hate. Some people purposely commit sin knowingly. Warning after warning after warning is given, and they don't want to listen to the warning. They want to do whatever they want to do. It's not like, oh Lord, I'm sorry I did this. And then tomorrow you do the same thing. Oh Lord, I'm sorry. That's going in a circle. The word of God says, when you repent, what you do, you forsake. That means whatever you're doing, when you repent it, then you don't do it again. When repent means turn around. When somebody is going away from God, and when say God says repent, means turn around, come to me, come back to me. And if that person is not coming back to God, that means he is not repented. And so repentance means coming back to God. Let's go to the Revelation chapter 2, verse 16.
Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth.
When you say repent, or else, that's a warning. When somebody says or else, say don't say that. When you say repent, or else means you will have punishment. And there is no other choice but get punished. What he's saying, I am coming, and how he's coming? I'm coming quickly. He says, I will not delay to punish. God is love and God is consuming fire. But how God loves, he said, okay, you committed sin, I will forgive you. And he forgives. Jesus Christ said to Peter, he said, how many times I should forgive my brother? What did he say? 70 times 7. So the word of God is saying, if God wants to forgive you, but you cannot take the advantage of forgiveness and keep on doing sin. That's why the word of God is saying, book of Romans chapter 6 verse 23, what is he saying? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So the sin kills you. There is no other way. Sin will kill you. Repent means not crying for sin. Some people feel sorry they committed sin, but they don't forsake that sin. There is a word in Proverbs 28, please read. Proverbs 28, verse 13.
He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy.
See, he says, if someone tried to cover his sins, he's not going to prosper. You will not have blessing of God. But he says, when you confess and put it right with God, and forsake it, then God's mercy will be upon you. That's why people are suffering. If somebody is suffering, you see, most of the people having suffering in their body, in their mental torture or their physical condition, all these things are comes the result of sin. And so that's what the Word of God is saying. I saw some of the weak points in you. If you don't repent, then I'll come quickly. And then he says, I have the sword, the double-edged sword, coming out of my mouth, and that will destroy. What does it mean? He will say one word, and you would not have anything to defend. That's why he says in judgment time, when God wants to judge the people, they stand before God from the time of Adam until the last person will be dead in the millennium. All those people will come and stand. They will be not a single lawyer can defend your case, because their mouth will be shut. And Jesus Christ, he said, he is a lawyer, he is a mediator, he is a king, he is a judge. So when he starts judging and the words comes out of his mouth, you have no defense. That's why he says, two-edged sword is what? The Word of God. Go to the Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6, 17.
And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God.
Okay. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. So the God is using the spiritual word, and that is the sword of the Spirit, and that the sword of the Spirit will destroy. It will come out of the mouth of Jesus Christ. So that's why he says, repent, otherwise I'll come quickly. Okay, and verse 17. Revelation chapter 2, verse 17.
He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it.
He that hath ear, let him hear. This is always, he said, to each and every church, and each and every person. Now why he is saying if somebody has the ear, let them hear? They don't hear means they don't obey. They don't practice what God says. They don't obey what God says. So when you have ears, how do you know you heard it? When you practice or we respond what the word was saying. So he says, each and every time, if you have ears, let that person hear, or let that person listen, or let that person obey. And who is saying? He says, save the Spirit unto churches. So the Spirit of God always speaks to you. So that each time you do something wrong, the Spirit says, don't do it. It's not good. If you do it, you will have punishment. God gives us time to repent. And if the people keep on doing stubborn thing and be stubborn, not listen to anybody, do whatever they want to do, and then the sudden destruction comes. So that's what the Word of God says. I will come quickly. If you don't get the warning from the Spirit of God, then you will have problems. Means punishment. And then he says, to him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the hidden manna. And now they don't know where the manna is, because manna was kept in the tabernacle and kept even the temple in the Ark of the Covenant. But there is another Ark of the Covenant in heaven, because there is a temple in heaven, and so there is a hidden manna. And so he said, if you overcome, I will give that manna. And then he says, and I will give him a white stone. And so here he's saying, what is the big about the white stone? The white stone was given like when you are having a court battle with somebody, and the lawyer is saying he's guilty, and he's saying he's guilty. But the judge listens to everything, and then judge wants to give the verdict, and judge will say, here is the Mr. So-and-so, here is the white stone for you. That means you are not guilty. You are a winner. You are an overcomer. It means you are not guilty anymore. And so that was very valuable. That's what they were looking for. So he said, you will get that white stone. That means you will be overcomer, and you will have that sign of victory. And then he says, not only that, I will write a name in that stone, the name written on the stone, only that person who got it, he will know it, nobody will know it. But he said, I will give you a name that nobody will have it. See the snowflakes. Each snowflake is different. God does not make any identical snowflake. Then you know how God smart is. Every snowflake is different. Every person is different. Every animal is different. So God has no problem giving you a special stone and write your special secret name on it. Every overcomer has some gifts. But that is not for a Pergamos church only. That's for each and every believer, each and every bride, each and every overcomer have some special gifts given by God. So let's thank God. Let's rise. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You have called us with a definite high calling and no turning back. We are looking into Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. You have called us with a definite high calling, and we are not going to go astray, but we are going to follow you. Please forgive all our sins, wash us with your precious blood, and give us grace and victory. And whatever the blessings you have kept for us, no one can take our crowns. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.